Story Time with Helen Adam, Baby Cool Abby. I hope you enjoy the stories. Bye.
Hi everybody, today we're gonna read the book Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and I haven't read on this podcast in a while, so I just signed in again. Yes, it took me hours to sign in because Anchor makes it so hard to sign in. But, we're gonna get started with the book, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which is one of my favorite books. It's a very old book. I got it from my grandparents, and, yeah, so let's get started. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Written by Judy Barnett and drawn by Ron Barnett. Well, we were all sitting around the big kitchen table Saturday morning, pancake morning. It was Saturday morning, pancake morning, sorry. Hold on, my microphone is not working right now. Hold on, let me adjust it. Okay, I'll start over. We were all sitting around the big kitchen table. It was a Saturday morning, pancake morning. Mom was squeezing the oranges for juice. Henry and I were betting on how many pancakes we could each eat. And Grandpa was doing all the flipping. Seconds later, something flew through the air and headed towards the kitchen ceiling and landed right on Henry. After we realized the flying object was only a pancake, we all laughed, even Grandpa. After breakfast, we continued quite uneventfully. All the other pancakes landed in the pan. All of them were eaten, even the one that landed on Henry. That night, touched off by the pancake incident, at breakfast, Grandpa told us the best tall tale bedtime story he'd ever told. Across the ocean, over lots of huge, bumpy mountains, across three hot deserts, and one smaller ocean, there lay a tiny town of Chew Swallow. In most ways, it was very much like any other tiny town. It had a main street with stores, houses with trees and gardens around them, a schoolhouse, about 300 people, and some assorted cats and dogs. There were no food stores in Chew Swallow. They didn't need any. The sky supplied all the food they could possibly want. The only thing that was really different about Chew Swallow was its weather. It came three times a day at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Everything that everyone ate came from the sky. Whatever the weather served, that's what they ate. But it never rained rain, and it never snowed snow, and it never blew just for wind. It rained in things like soup and juice. It snowed mashed potatoes and green peas, and sometimes the wind blew in storms of hamburgers. The people could watch the weather report on television in the morning, and they would even hear a prediction for the next day's food. So you'll see at the end, I'm pausing here, by the way, at the end, you'll wonder, why is it called Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? And the reason it's called that is in a picture. It's on the picture of the page I just read. And on the TV screen, there's a guy watching the news. And the news says that it's raining soup right now for breakfast. And tomorrow, it's supposed to be cloudy with a chance of meatballs, which is why it's called cloudy with a chance of meatballs. Anyway, let's get back to the book. When the townspeople went outside, they carried plates, cups, glasses, forks, spoons, and knives and napkins with them. That way, they would always be ready for any kind of weather. If there were leftovers, and there usually were, people took them home and put them in their refrigerators in case they got hungry between meals. The menu varied. By the time they woke up in the morning, breakfast was coming down. After a brief shower of orange juice, it was low clouds of sunny sky. Up eggs moved, followed by pieces of toast, butter and jelly sprinkled down for the toast. And most of the time it rained milk afterwards. For lunch one day, Frankfurters, already in their rolls, blew in from the northwest at about 5 miles an hour. There were mustard clouds nearby, and the wind shifted east and brought in baked beans. A drizzle of soda finished off the meal. Dinner one night consisted of lamb chops, beaming heavy at times, with an occasional ketchup. Periods of peas and baked potatoes were followed by a gradual clearing with a wonderful jello setting in the west. The station department of Two Swallow has a rather unusual job for a station department. It had to remove all the food that fell off houses, sidewalks, and lawns. The workers cleaned things up after every meal and fed them to the dogs and cats. Then they emptied some of it into the surrounding oceans for the fish and turtles and whales to eat. The rest of the food was put back into the earth so the soil would be richer for people's flower gardens. Life for the townspeople was delicious until the weather took a turn for the worst. And I wish you guys could see the pictures, but unfortunately this is a podcast and you can't, but in the picture right now it shows a newspaper and it says, "The Chew Swallow Digest Spaghetti Ties Up Town," and it shows a picture, spaghetti's everywhere, it's on like the lights and stuff. And it says, "Record-breaking pasta fall causes chaos, traffic flared on Intestine Street." All this stuff that should not happen in our normal world. One day there was nothing but cheese all day long. The next day there was only broccoli, all overcooked. And the next day there were Brussels sprouts and peanut butter with mayonnaise. And in that picture it shows them having a birthday party. They were like, "I don't really like this cake." Another day there was pea soup fog. No one could see where they were going and they could barely find the rest of the meal. They all that got stuck in the fog. It looks like in the meal there are fish and stuff that aren't even cooked. The food was getting larger and larger, and so were the portions. People were getting frightened, and storms blew up frequently. Awful things were happening. One Tuesday, there was a hurricane of bread rolls all day long and into the night. There were soft rolls, hard rolls, some with seeds and some without. There was white bread and rye and a whole wheat toast. Most of it was larger than they had ever seen bread rolls before. It was a terrible day. Everybody had to stay indoors. Roof roofs were damaged, and the station department was beside itself. The mess took the workers 4 days to clean up, and the sea was full of floating rolls. To help out, people piled up as much bread as they could in their backyards. The birds picked on it a bit, but it stayed there and just got sadder and sadder. There was a storm of pancakes one morning, and a downpour of maple syrup nearly flooded the town. A huge pancake covered the school. No one could get it off because of its weight, so they had to close the school. Lunch one day brought 15-inch drifts of cream cheese and jelly sandwiches. Everybody ate themselves sick, and the day ended with a stomachache. There was an awful salt and pepper wind accompanied by an even worse tomato tornado. People were sneezing themselves silly, running to avoid the tomatoes. The town was a mess. There were seeds and plop everywhere. The station department gave up. The job was too big. Everybody feared for their lives. They couldn't go outside most of the time. Many houses had been badly damaged by giant meatballs. Stores were boarded up, and there was no more school for the children. So the decision was made to abandon the town of Chuswalla. It was a matter of survival. People glued together giant pieces of bread and sandwich style with peanut butter, took their absolute necessities with them, and set sail on their rafts for new land. I want you guys to pause here and make a prediction on what's going to happen next. Could be anything. After being afloat for a week, they finally reached a coastal town which welcomed them. The bread held up surprisingly well, enough for them to build temporary houses out of it. The children began school again, and the adults tried to find places for themselves in the new land. The biggest change was they had to get used to buying food at a supermarket. They found it odd that the food was kept on shelves, packaged in boxes, cans, and bottles. Meat that had to be cooked was kept in large refrigerators. Nothing came down from the sky except rain, snow, the clouds above. Rain and snow. The clouds above their heads were not made of fried eggs. No one ever got hit by a hamburger again, and nobody dared to go back to Chuswalla to find out what had happened to it. They were too afraid. Henry and I were awake until the very end of Grandpa's story. I remember his goodnight kiss. The next morning, we woke up to see snow falling outside the window. We ran downstairs for breakfast and ate it a little faster than usual so we could go sledding with Grandpa. It's funny, but even as we were sledding down the hill, we thought we saw a giant pat of butter at the top, and we could almost smell mashed potatoes. The end. I hope you enjoyed the book, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. I chose this book because it's just a great book, and I thought you guys would like it. And I saw on my analytics, I can see that you guys like books for like picture books and books for a little bit younger kids. So I apologize, I haven't had too much of that, but I am going to start putting more of that on the podcast soon, and I have been getting stuff ready for something that I think you guys will really love, and it will probably expand this podcast that I might even be starting tomorrow. So, I hope you can listen to more episodes. Oats, and congratulations on listening to over 1,500 episodes as all of you guys. So, let's keep going. Let's keep this running because I think we can do it. I will see you next time I record. See you soon. Bye.